star of
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Doing very well, Tom. I had a good weekend. I went and saw the Nets play, my first sporting event.
Oh, my God. That's
amazing.
A long
time. It was very exciting. It was good to be back in an arena, my true home, where I recorded my first hour at the Barclays Center.
Yes.
So it was very exciting to be back in those hallowed grounds.
They let you do a bringer at the Barclays Center, which is really impressive that you sold it out. At some point, it's like, yeah, these are just my fans. But they still called it a bringer, which was really insulting.
I have a really big family, and we were just able to fill up most of the lower bowl that way. So
that's very exciting. Our friend Max Fine went to see the Nets play, and he was like, yeah, man, it sucked. The beers were like $14. And I was like, yeah, man, that's how it always is.
Any sporting event.
That's legitimately cheaper than it used to be. It used to be $17 for a beer. Anyway, I'm glad that I gotta go see the Mets play or something. I'm so excited to bring our guest on today. I was just listening to Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sasheer Zamata. So here she is, Sasheer Zamata.
Hi.
Thanks for doing this.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You guys' podcast is so fucking funny. You guys. Nicole not realizing that ranch doesn't last forever was really killing me.
Yeah, that's kind of every episode where we both discover she didn't know something. And then we kind of follow up and try to figure out why or what the actual answer is. It's fun.
Yeah.
Fun journey for both of us.
Very fun. I wanted to ask you about this. You're also from Indiana. Have you gone back during the pandemic at all?
Yeah, actually, I went in November. Me and my man took a road trip to the Midwest because we're both from the Midwest and saw family safely or tried to. And yes, it was fine. It just kind of sucked because it was like cold and then like restaurants weren't open. So there was really no like common place to hang out. It was just kind of like seeing some people in the driveway or like in someone's living room masked up and then being like, well, this sucks. I'm going to go now. But it was still nice to see some family.
That's like my family in the Midwest. I drove back to Chicago for Christmas and we had to do an outdoor Christmas and it was like Chicago at Christmas. So it was like 20 degrees and we were just like sitting in a backyard shivering like, this is Christmas now.
Oh, God. I mean, I guess on the bright side, this was only a year, you know? We're at the end of it, it seems, anyway.
Hopefully
there's not a crazy resurgence. But light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully we don't have to have more holidays like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's tough going back to Indiana specifically, too, during it, because, like, I don't know if you had this experience, but I was coming from – so we went from L.A. to Indiana, and then that was on our way back to New York. Because we got stuck in LA at the beginning of the pandemic. And then we were like, at some point, our subletters were like, okay, we found another place. And so we had to come back. And we stopped in Indiana and it was like, oh no, like I'm so used to everybody taking it so seriously. And then in Indiana, just like my mom was like, oh, there are people just with COVID at the grocery stores. Like I diagnosed them with it and they are out and about. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Thankfully, I didn't see too much of that. We did pass through Texas and there it seemed like no one cared. It was just a lot of just unmasked cowboys walking around really threatening our safety in many ways.
Let me ask, where have all the cowboys gone? That's where they are.
They're all in Amarillo, Texas, honestly.
I feel like your choice for band today, it felt very Indiana to me. Because this is what people, when I was in middle school and high school, this was the shit. Like, this was what people were really into.
Yeah.
And of course, we are talking today about Linkin Park. And I'm so excited for this one. You mentioned earlier, but like, It is crazy that we haven't done this one before.
But yeah, I couldn't believe it was up for grabs. I'm so excited too. I was re-listening last night and just like to jog my memory of my favorites. And I was like, yeah, these are all still bangers. Like I still like it.
I forgot about so many of them too. Like songs like What I've Done, Breaking the Habit. I was like, I always remember the other ones. I was like, oh yeah, those were huge hits. Yeah. Like, those were big songs.
Like their totally first forgot. Album was like mostly singles. Like it was like mostly
five
hits.
Singles. Yeah. It's crazy. That's Hybrid Theory. And the one that I got really into, because as soon as I heard In the End, I was like, oh, I like this. Yeah. It's just like emo enough for me, like at that age, that I was like, hell yeah, finally somebody gets it.
And, oh my God. Yes. Speaking to my angsty teen soul, they see me, man. My parents don't get me. My school doesn't get me. But Linkin Park understands and they're speaking my language.
It doesn't even matter. That was the important thing. But I got really into, my sister had Meteora, and I remember putting that album on front to back and being like, I'm not going to skip any of it. I just like loved it so much. And it became my running album. And I tried it today where I was like, I'm going to run to Linkin Park like I did in college, and it did the same thing to me where I was like just so fired up, and you're like angry about things that you weren't even really mad about, but all the stuff just rises up.
Yep. All the memories start flooding in, you're like, yeah, my dad did do that and it did suck. There's a lot of like, I learned this from you, dad energy in a lot of these songs.
Absolutely. What was your intro? What did you get in right at the beginning of with Hybrid Theory?
I did. Yeah. I didn't realize until I went back and looked at their catalog and I was like, yep, I was there from the beginning. Yeah. And I don't even remember how I found out about them. I must have seen them on MTV or something like that. Cause when they came on the scene, they exploded and they were played all over the place. So it wasn't like I had to like, find them in a secret route or a friend had to show me. Right. Like they were just there. They were just very much present. But yeah, I feel like they were, that was an era of a lot of like pop, rock, alternative kind of music. And even though I did listen to them Loud and Proud, I do feel like people were like a lot of eye roll-y, ugh, I don't know about this band, you know, even though they were wildly successful, but it's still like a little embarrassing because they were so, it's that angsty, like I'm sad music. I'm mad and sad at the same time and I'm going to scream about it, but also rock.
And it's weird because I always forget, when I think of Linkin Park, like having not listened to them in a while, when I was thinking of him, I was just thinking of Chester Bennington's voice.
Yeah.
That like type of screaming he does. Cause we talk about it on the show a lot and I'm realizing that I'm full of shit because I have been saying that I don't like when people scream in music that much. Like I don't like screamy voices, but his voice is incredible and I loved it back in the day. And then, we've been talking about this band, and I apologize for their name, but Mannequin Pussy is they have a screaming singer that it's the only thing I've listened to for the past like 3 weeks.
They're also very big right now because the HBO show Mayor of Easttown, they're like the daughter's band in that just plays Mannequin Pussy songs.
What?
And then they keep doing like in jokes of referencing Mannequin Pussy. Like someone will be wearing a Mannequin Pussy sweatshirt and they just keep bringing up the band.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's very cool as a fan of that band to be like, oh, they're getting that HBO money. I love it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh my God. That's incredible. But it's another thing where it's just like someone who can scream with still having a beautiful voice is it's great. But
yeah, he sounds like a like classically trained singer.
Yeah,
but also has the ability to like scream and not like wreck his voice.
Yeah,
yes, not it's wreck his insane. Voice is like a huge part of that too because it's like it's like defies all everything I know about science that he was able to do that for that many years. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, really, really talented, and Mike Shinoda. Also,
yes.
Also very talented.
So Mike Shinoda, because I knew about Chester, but I never really like got deep in. I would listen to all their stuff, but this was before I was like, oh, I want to really get to know this band or whatever. Yeah. He's the one who's rapping, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the rap artist. Yeah. Yeah. I mentioned his name to my man the other day, and he's like, oh, I didn't realize you were that much of a fan. I was like, everyone knows Mike Shinoda, right?
It's wild that, and I forgot about this until today, and there's a song on here from this, but I totally forgot that they had a whole thing with Jay-Z.
Yes.
And it was huge, but yeah. It feels so out of left field.
Yeah.
That's who, and I was just trying to read about it because I wanted some footage of Jay-Z being like, just talking about liking Linkin Park, but I found, I just found where the story about it was that MTV wanted to do those collaborations, and they asked Jay-Z first. They were like, is there anybody you want to work with? And his first idea was Linkin Park.
That's
and
amazing.
Then they knocked it out of the park.
They wow. truly did. Yeah. It's funny because it's like, oh, then like, of they're undeniably good if Jay-Z picks them. Like, of mm-hmm. you know, Jay-Z must have great taste. But then I remember, like, he loves Coldplay. Like, that's... Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, do we trust his taste? I mean, he's
right. We always joke about that, like on the Kanye call says, I did a song with Coldplay, and next thing I know, Jay-Z has a song with Coldplay. And
oh no!
And also, I've pointed out before on the show, Kanye did not do a song with Coldplay. He did a song with Chris Martin, but he calls Chris Martin Coldplay.
Yeah, he's Coldplay. He's Coldplay, and sometimes he brings his friends.
Yes, yep. Mm-hmm. But that's a good point, though. How much do we trust him? But then that album was so good.
It was so good.
And I loved the ending of this article I read about it. Was like, the album was a huge success, but Jay-Z and Linkin Park never worked together again. It's like, yeah, like why would they?
Or something. I also don't know if they like, well, I actually don't know what the process was, but it sounds like they just mashed the songs. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were in the studio recording together.
So that's what I was curious about. I was trying to figure out how much contact they actually had. And so it was like Jay-Z's people reached out to Linkin Park to see if they would do it. And then Mike, Shinoda, is that what you mm-hmm. said? Shinoda, that's what he like, he came up doing that, like matching together stuff and rapping over it and stuff.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, this is easy. And he just made a cut and sent it to Jay-Z personally. And then Jay-Z called him and was like, this is incredible.
Oh,
so
amazing.
He had at least some hands on it, but
yeah.
I don't know exactly how much, they were spending time together.
Yeah.
But it must be cool, the moment where you get to be Linkin Park and you get to start off that track and go, get him, Jay.
Yeah, you're telling Jay to get it. Like,
yeah, I think he's got it.
He's got it, yeah. They did that. That was the last thing they did. Jay didn't know that they were going to say that. Otherwise, he would have been like, I'm not. No, they're telling me to do what? No, cancel the whole project.
Get him, Jay. I think we should go ahead and hear some music. So as we always do, we had you send us a playlist of songs. And which one would you like to hear first on this playlist we got here?
Mm-hmm. How about I like Paper Cut. It's like the first one off Hybrid
Theory.
Let's
start from the top. Yeah. I love it. All right, let's hear Paper Cut. I'm going to skip forward.
Yeah.
Get a mic.
Go get a mic.
Get a Lincoln.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a really good showcase of them mixing the two, like, hip hop and rock elements, mm-hmm. where like it's definitely a showcase of Chester's vocals, but also the rapping and like DJ scratching that they use often in one song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. And that was my favorite part too. The when he's like, the sun goes down. And it's funny because, like, I don't think preteen me had a need to be paranoid. No one was coming after me. But and that's kind of what the song is. But a lot of their lyrics, especially in this song, feel very, like, just in your mind. Like, you're constantly in your mind. You're overthinking or, like, and not very in your body. And that's how, that's mm-hmm. definitely how I felt as a teen. Like, just feeling very anxious in general. So, yeah. I like that stuff.
I love that. I'm trying to figure out, like, I was trying to nail what it is about them that people do, like, people listen to them and enjoy them. And even people in the comments today wrote about, like, enjoying them and or knowing every song, but mm-hmm. not admitting to liking them or not talking about liking them. And I can't tell if it's the emo-ness of it or if it's, like, the white rapper part of it or, like, or what it is exactly. Yeah, maybe it's that, but or maybe it is just that it's like it speaks so much to a teenage version of yourself that it feels like weird to be like, no, this is what I listen to now as a like a 33-year-old or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's it. There's like that. There was an era of adults doing mm-hmm. this kind of like "fuck you, dad" kind of stuff, or like "no one understands me" and. Like these are valid feelings, but it feels juvenile. So it feels weird to take it seriously as like these are artists, creating art. But like the message is still the same. Like it doesn't just because they grew up doesn't mean they don't feel those things or did in the past. But it just feels like they're the target audience is teens and angsty teens, and so it's like hard to be like. Yeah, I like that. You know, that's my favorite.
It's so crazy. So the Hybrid Theory turned 20 in last year, in 2021. Yeah. So there was a lot of like writing about it, and I was reading a lot of it. There's a lot of like critical reassessment of kind of like people feeling like they had been too hard on them because I think they were new metal and because of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then you look back on it, and numbers wise, Hybrid Theory is the most popular rock album of the 2000s of this century.
Whoa. Really?
The most popular, number one. Yeah,
I didn't
know
that.
32 million copies overall. Like
that's
from start
crazy.
To end.
I knew it was number one the year it came out, but I didn't. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's obviously like you know a big part of that is people stopped buying music. You know, right. So that yeah. But still, it's like there's still a lot of albums that would contend before that happened. Yeah, it's just like really interesting how they really tapped into something that people wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to your point. Sashir, in an interview, Shinoda said, this song specifically is a perfect representation of Linkin Park's early style. I always felt like Papercut was so much of the band in one song. It starts off with this really bouncy hip hop beat. I was influenced by everyone from Jay-Z to Timbaland, and that bounce, that beat in the beginning, it was probably part him and part the rock band that were imitating that bounce like ourselves. But the thing is, it starts out with this hip hop bounce, then it immediately kicks in with very, at the time, cutting edge version of what you would now call a new metal riff. Over the top of that, if you listen, there's a jungle beat, which is a subgenre of electronic music that never hit the mainstream. And then there's a rap chorus plus all the glitching effects on the vocal, and then you hit the end, and it's a huge melodic release.
I think I felt that.
Yeah, it's all of it. It showcases everything they do.
Right.
All right. Should we hear the Mike Shinoda reanimation of Crawling?
Yes. Yes,
let's,
we should.
Let's throw that on. Was there a specific part of this song? I remember there was one.
Like towards the end, if you can get the last chorus,
yes.
That would be great.
Okay, let's get that.
Come
How are they not like on every movie soundtrack? It's just like so epic.
It's big.
They use all the instruments available to them.
That would have fit so well into Mortal Kombat for sure.
Yeah. Also the beginning, like you can hear the violins towards the end, but in the beginning it's like just like a very simple string thing happening, and it feels like Dune or like Mad Max or like just like a post-apocalyptic kind of universe where like everyone's fighting for water or something. It just feels like very like gritty, and then of course, you know, it comes in with like hip-hop elements too, but I love Crawling as is, but I like I don't like the whole reanimation album because it's just like showing different ways they can use the elements that they used before, but like just turning it on its head, opening it up, flipping it on the inside out. Like, I just think that's so cool.
And I didn't know they made that. Yeah, that's really cool. They made the full album remix. Yeah,
remix. Like, I can't think of anyone who's done that again. Like, I also a lot of remixes as of late are like it's the same song but like Nicki Minaj is on it, or you know, like they added one rap verse on it and that's the remix, but they like truly got rid of the original version of the song and just like chopped it up and made it something new, and I think that's cool and a lot of work.
For sure. I thought it's really interesting. I was listening to an interview with the band and they talked about how they write and they don't ever like jam together. They literally all have hard drives and they all put different ideas on the hard drives. And then they have like the band hard drive that is like the stuff they pick to work on together. Ah. And it's like this crazy way of working that I've never heard of any other band doing. But I think it makes for really interesting results.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And also like no one can tell you no in the room. You're just like, I'm putting the violins in there, and they're going to be surprised. And I'm hitting save, and they can't undo this.
Wow, that's wild. That is a really interesting way to do it. I think we should start doing the podcast like
that. We each record.
Just record your side of the conversation and hope that it matches.
The opening riffing segment is going to be really weird.
I guess I like different versions of songs. Like I love covers, I love remixes. Just give me the thing that I like in a different way and I'll probably like it even more. There's actually two songs I don't want them on the playlist, but I did want to talk about them.
Yes.
Yes.
It's Place for My Head.
Yes.
And then Place for Me Head on Reanimation. They wrote like robots for their song titles on Reanimation, which was very fun.
They have the Elon Musk and Grimes child, A.E., in there, which I was so impressed that you found that to write that in your email this year. I was like, how'd you do that?
How did you do it? Did you look up that baby's name and then copy and paste it?
That's how
I would do it.
You hold down the letter. You hold down the A, and then it shows you different options of A's. So you want a little accent, you want a dot, you want an A-E.
Wow. Weird.
Yeah.
Well, you learn something new every day. That's crazy. All right, well, let's hear the part of A Place for My Head.
Yeah. So we're playing the bridge specifically,
The bridge, yes.
Yeah, okay. We have that pulled up here. That's at 150. All right. Was that the part?
Yeah, that was the part. Okay, that was was that the reanimation one or the
no? That's
the original.
That was the original.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Something about saying "go away" in a song just you can't take it seriously. That's a song I always skipped on that album because I was like, I don't. I can't be screaming, go away in my room. It feels childish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, there are some lyrics in all of their albums where it's like, I don't want to co-sign on that. Uh-huh. I've with the music sounds great, but this lyric, boo. But then when I listen to the version on Reanimation, it for same words, but it sounds so much better. It's just like, I don't know what they did to it, but I'm like, oh, this is cooler. Okay, it's not so bad to say go away. But
let me pull up the Reanimation version of the same thing. So that's it.
It's so much better.
That?
Maybe it's the build.
It does
it's
sound
like a slow
better,
build
yeah.
to it or something. It's
and
just...
I like how he does it like the under his breath almost for the first few, and then it turns into that.
Maybe that's it. They just have more levels to it than consistently screaming, go away. You tried to take the best of me, go away. But I think that's like, you know, what a great opportunity they gave themselves to reinvent these songs. With a whole other album to reanimate these songs, essentially.
Reanimate does make it way weirder to look at. I don't know how I missed this whole album, but
I loved it.
Enjoying it. Should we listen to Faint next?
Yeah,
I love this song. This is like this was me on the elliptical today, just getting it. I love this.
Yeah.
All right, here's Faint. That one's so cool.
That's so cool.
Just right off the bat.
I remember the music video was like a concert, and it's just like, I've never been to a Linkin Park concert. I wish I was able to, but it just like was just so full of energy and just like, yes. It just makes you want to celebrate live music.
Yeah. That's one that I feel like would be really fun live too, because it's like it still has the whole like I won't be ignored, that sort of stuff, but it's just so cool. Like that one sounds so much cooler than most of their stuff. But I like when that came on today, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot how fucking awesome this is.
Yeah,
just like it's so slick, and it's like he sounds good rapping on it. It's great.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also like a chant element to it that's like good for a crowd to get into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
apparently, the way they started doing the We Will Rock You is because like their manager or someone was like, you need something that the people can sing, you know. Who knows if that conversation actually happened, but it's true. You do need something that the audience can sing with you, and they feel like this was one of those songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are they... Is the audience singing the what he's rapping, or are they singing because he's like, I am? Or are they going that, I won't be ignored?
Yeah, no one will be ignored. We're all just shouting that. We, as a collective, will not be ignored.
Yes.
Because we're yelling.
That's a good way to not get ignored. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just actively screaming.
Oh, apparently, according to songfacts.com, this song is about being ignored by everyone and making yourself heard. Thank you.
Oh,
song
wow. Facts. Oh, really?
Oh, that was a head scratcher.
Typing that out, you're like, I'm gonna add to song. This is a fact about the song people need to know.
That's very funny.
Let's see. The video was shot in Los Angeles, where members of the fan club LP Underground participated in the shoot. That must have been fun.
Yeah.
To be in the video as like a real thing. That's great.
Yeah.
Tommy, did you ever see? You never saw Linkin Park, did you?
No, I didn't. I really liked all the singles, but I don't think I ever went that deep. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, it was funny re-listening to a lot of it because I was like this song too. It's like so many of this. Like, I don't even know if I ever owned an album, but I just remembered all these songs so well because they were everywhere.
Yeah,
and it was funny the way I was listening to them today because I was listening to them while folding laundry, and I was like, this was. This was the experience of every parent in 2003, like with their angsty kid playing this
just
music loud.
A door.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You should have shut the door and listened to the other room. Like, yeah, this is what mom felt like.
I was actually doing that too last night. I was like cleaning the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And my man came downstairs like, ah, there's my angsty woman.
Yeah, this whole album is so good, and it's this was the second single after Somewhere I Belong. I love Somewhere I Belong too.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. The next song on the playlist is also from Meteora, and it is From the Inside.
Yeah, I like that song so much, but I think the first line is so funny. It's like,
what is the wait? It's oh shoot!
I don't know who to trust.
That's it.
No surprise. It's like they're like parodying themselves. They're like, you know us, not trusting people. That's like our thing. Classic Linkin Park, not knowing who to trust.
They should have gone, I know exactly who to trust. Psych.
Guess again. No one. But yeah, I think so I just like how it sounds. It's just like such a very melodic singing. I don't know. I liked it.
Chester's voice is great on that one too. It's mm-hmm. I feel like that's one where you really get to hear him actually. He's just singing, and it's really good.
Also, like in a lot of their songs, I appreciate how quickly they get to the chorus. There's no bullshit. You know, we don't need a long lead in. They're just like, here it is. This is the fun part of the song. We're in it now, and I like that.
I appreciate that too, especially as the person who's playing random parts of the song.
Yeah, you find the chorus pretty quickly.
They are doing me a lot of favors today, and I appreciate it. Oh, so next up on the list that that's on this playlist is the Jay-Z Numb/Encore, which, hell, I mean, yeah, we teased it earlier. Let's give the people what they came for.
Yeah.
All right. So well,
I remember when this album came out and I was like, oh my god, two of my favorite things. I already love Jay-Z and I already love Linkin Park, and they put them together. You got Linkin Park and my Jay-Z. You got Jay-Z and my Linkin Park.
You got Jay-Z and my Linkin Park. I know we trashed it earlier, but that's how I felt when Coldplay did this. When that Lost Plus came out, I was like, oh, hell yeah. But this is inarguably better. It's so good.
Sorry,
Tommy, what were you going to say?
I remember, like, this came out when I was in high school, and I remember loving it so much, the whole Collision Course album. And it was, like, mm-hmm, right at the same time I heard Girl Talk, too. And I just remember thinking mashups, like, blew my mind so much.
Yeah.
And it's like, I lost that, like, innocence of, like, truly not understanding, like, wait a second, you're telling me they put two songs together?
Yeah.
And it was, like, mind blowing.
That was like sophomore year of college time for me, when Girl Talk was huge, and it was like every party you went to. It's they better have that fucking Girl Talk cooking, or else I'm leaving.
Maybe it's like the way callbacks are satisfying in comedy. Just like hearing songs that you already know, but combined with a song that you already know in a different way, mm-hmm, feels good. For some reason, it's like, oh,
it's so satisfying.
It's two familiar things. This is nice.
And they're like, they weaved them together, and it's working.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like some sort of math or science.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. It does feel like a skill to be able to hear two different pieces and be like, I think I can make this work.
Yes,
yeah, for sure.
Tommy, you're a music man. How do you do it?
I've never done a mashup, but hopefully that's maybe I'll bring them back. That'll be my new project.
All right. We have, I believe, one more song left on this playlist, and then we got to get to these comments because people were excited about Linkin Park today. So let's hear Leave Out All the Rest.
Missing, you were so scared, but no one. Chester.
Chester. This whole album felt like the beginning of a transition where it was less Shinoda, more Chester.
Yeah.
And not that he was like, he was definitely still involved with the songs, obviously, but they were more, I guess, rock in this era. And which also was great for them. I mean, it's what a gift that they are able to do multiple genres or different types of music. But yeah, I like this. I like the song because vocally, I thought he did great. And
yeah,
also, I feel like this is one of few songs where that's like kind of. I mean, they're all introspective, but it's not like. I'm being attacked, or I'm paranoid, or I'm running from you. It's kind of like it's very first person. Like, I'm apologizing. Like, please remember me in a good light kind of thing, as opposed to like, I don't want you
get
to
away.
Yeah, you go away.
This was produced by Rick Rubin, this album.
Nice.
Which I thought was really interesting. And also, yeah, I guess Rick Rubin kind of encouraged them to make something that sounded way different than the first two major albums, which you can definitely tell listening to this, which I'd never heard this song. But yeah, I really like the chorus. I think it's a good, very good track.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that a lot. I just like his voice a lot. I never listened to that album at all. So it was fun to listen to that today.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quiz for you before we get to our comments. I forgot about it till just now. And the quiz is, which Linkin Park song are you? And it is brought to us by GoToQuiz.com.
Our friends at GoToQuiz.
Not a sponsor. Not affiliated. So the first question, that doesn't matter. All right. The first question is, do you like to party? And the options are fuck yes, yeah, I guess, I'll do it maybe once or so a month, maybe two to three times a year, fine, not really, no, or never, ... bitch.
Not really, no.
Okay. All right, next question. I think they mean to say, do you feel guilty for bad things you've done? But it says, are you guilty for bad things you've done?
This is weird.
Gosh.
And then it
says,
parentheses, Tom.
this is only a question that actually is real. And it's just to bust you. Are you guilty?
Are you guilty of the things you've done?
So the first option is totally, I still am guilty. Second is sorta, yeah. Third is not really, but sure, a little. Fourth, nah, maybe a pinch, but no. Fifth, no. Sixth, what are you talking about?
Maybe a pinch.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Who doesn't feel a little guilty?
Yeah.
Five, no, I don't think that would... Oh, wait, yeah, okay. Do you want to give up on life? And then it's got a bunch of questions, or a bunch of answers here.
The suicide hotline.
Yep. It says, sort of, I'm depressed a bit. Yeah, I'm sad, but not enough to do anything. No, I'll be down here and there. Never, damn. Never, ... damn.
I'm down a bit or something. Whatever. I'm down
here and there. It was one. Six is, do you have fun just to throw the pain away? First one is yes, always. I'm a party animal, but still sad. Second is, yeah, I'll have a party once or twice a week. Third, I'll have one a few times a month and I'm sad. No, I have fun for fun, but I'll have mood swings here and there. And the last one is never, gosh.
I'll have fun for fun.
Okay.
What is the big party Linkin Park song they're trying to get us
that's
to
what
play?
That's the game I'm trying to play too. And there was another quiz just like this one, and I didn't do it because one of the questions is, what song do you think it's going to be? Like, what song do you think you're going to get? And it's like, well, obviously,
you tell us
gonna do
what
that.
The answer should be, and then we'll make it that answer.
Okay, the next one is, are you a crook? And the first one is,
like,
I steal your stuff. Yep. I think that most of this is just the FBI is trying to track people down.
Yeah, are you guilty? Really, are you a crook?
This says, I'll steal your stuff, evil but depressed. Then it says, I'll take a thing or two a week. Oh, no, no, no. Sorry, my cat tried to knock my ring off. He doesn't like to see me shine. The next is, I'll take a thing or two a week. All right, piss off. Third is maybe, shut up. Fourth is, I would if it were food that I love, but no. And the fifth is nope, or and the last is nope, never.
This is in regards to this stealing
things? This
is, are
you things? A
crook? Yes, being a crook. Yes.
What a weird term. Yes. Why did they phrase it that way? No, never.
Okay.
The previous answer before never was very Aladdin. Like, I'll steal a loaf of bread, but only.
Yes. Yeah. I'll steal for the poor.
All right. The next one is, do you want to be alone or just feel alone? And the answers are, you hate me, don't you? The next one is, I feel hated most of the time, but then there's one, there's this one person. Then it says, yeah, I'll sit in a corner, but I have like 10 or less friends. The next one's, I'm popular but depressed. And the last one's, I got all kinds of friends. Damn, I'm popular.
I'll sit in the corner and I have 10 or less friends.
All right. And the last question is, did you like this quiz? It says, yes, kinda, no, fuck no, fuck yes, and I don't care. Or I don't know.
No.
This might be the worst. We've done a lot of bad quizzes that we've done. This might be the least that has the least to do with the band. Yep. Within the quiz.
Like, truly.
Yep. And
come on,
the answer,
quizzes.
I have a result for you. I think you're going to be shocked by this. The result is, you are the song Bleed It Out.
Bleed it I do out. Like that song.
Oh, there we go. See, pretty good quiz.
That might be a party song, actually. It's a very upbeat, like, clappy kind of.
That's what they were trying to get us to.
It's very, like,
yep. Because they said, wow, party animal, maybe. I just don't get drunk or else you'll be tied up to a roof. What? Oh, that doesn't make any sense. But said you party one occasionally, it was like, okay, I guess you're a party animal.
Yep. Yeah. I think they only had one answer for every option. Everyone's a party animal. And it's bleated out.
All right, it's time for our last segment before we rate this playlist, where we go to the listeners of this very show and we see what they have to say about the band we're talking about. And first, we go to the people who are on our Patreon. As soon as I can pull that up. Oh, there it is. So the people on Patreon had a lot to say today, and so I'm excited to pull these up. If you want to get on the Patreon, it's $3 a month. It gets you bonus episodes every friggin' week. And here's the first comment. It is from James Buntrock. Says, Linkin Park was very therapeutic for me as a young man. Coming from a dysfunctional, poor upbringing and having just joined the Navy, LP got me through some tough times circa the early aughts. They will always have a special place for me. On another note, my fave album of theirs is their remix one, Reanimation.
Ah.
There you go.
Nice. I concur.
Next one is John Bilancini says, I bet Tommy would rather talk about Linkin Bio. Good, good, good. Toby Braithwaite says, you did the right thing. I don't know what that means. Brendan Power says, my first favorite band, Meteor, was the first album I listened to front to back. I was supposed to see them perform with Rise Against, who were my favorite band at that time in 2015, but Chester broke his leg at one of the shows and the tour was canceled. Damn. Never saw them live and I'm still bummed by it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That is such a bummer. And it reminds me, I was looking at this list of fun facts about the band, and one of them is that apparently Chester is like a huge, like, klutz. Like, he would, like, get hurt all the time and it would fuck up their tours. And the one that I love the most is that he fucked up his wrist playing basketball at Chuck E. Cheese. They had to cancel shows for that. It's like, man, how pissed would you be if you were supposed to go to a concert? He fucked himself up at Chuck E. Cheese.
It's like, okay, if we're going on a tour, you just can't do anything weeks before. Just stay home. Please.
Yes.
Be safe.
Timothy Hooper says, easily one of the most influential bands of the 2000s. I'm not much of a fan of anything after Meteora, but those first two albums are cover to cover bangers. Plus that Jay-Z mashup album was honestly one of the best things MTV ever put together. Agreed. John Heutelmeyer says, I think, like a lot of people, I was a huge fan of their first two proper albums, then fell off after Meteora, but I've always enjoyed the new singles when they were on the radio. I loved the remix album, Reanimation, so much that I'd take it over Hybrid Theory. R.I.P. Chester. R.I.P. Chester, indeed. That's the Patreon. Tommy, do we have any from Twitter?
We just have one Twitter from a past favorite guest of the show, Guy Montgomery.
Ooh.
And what Guy said was, I was truly convinced the Jay-Z Linkin Park crossover album was the highest possible achievement in the history of music. and then a friend of mine introduced me to a little known New Zealand band called The Feelers.
The Feelers is a band we've done three episodes about. They're a New Zealand band that very divisive episodes. That some people really love, and some people probably unsubscribed. all right, we're pretty much out of time here, so I'm gonna just read a couple from the Facebook. Dash Kwiatkowski says, I guess they played Linkin Park songs at QAnon rallies and events because they believe Bennington was secretly Podesta's son and was murdered by the deep state before he could reveal Q secrets.
Ugh. Oh my god.
I cannot believe that.
That's insane.
That sucks so much.
It really does.
let's see here. Three to four times. Oh no, that's not all right. Bobby Buds gave us one. I feel like I got to read it. He said, I had a roommate that would get real drunk and blast Linkin Park off of his loudspeaker at 3 a.m. when we would get home. He was sad about Chester. He would always pass out with the music at full volume, and I would wake up for work at 5 a.m. to Linkin Park blasting from his room. His door would be locked, and he was a heavy sleeper, so I hate this band. well, I feel like you need to blame the roommate, not the music.
Yeah,
the
band.
People coming at Mike Shinoda. That's fine. All right. The last one I'm going to read here is from Shelby Rodney. She says, I still love them. Mike Shinoda is super talented and doesn't get enough credit. Their transformation from Hybrid Theory to Meteora to Minutes to Midnight to 1,000 Suns was beautiful, but people wanted them to have one sound and never change. Always thought it was fun to play Hands Held High for people and have them try to guess what band it was. They have a few other quieter, sadder songs rather than angry, like In Pieces. And the little things give you away. Honestly, I love it all. Linkin Park was a whole vibe, and I haven't listened to the album from 2017/anything new since Chester passed, but goddamn, their music was not appreciated by our generation beyond Hybrid Theory and maybe Meteora. I will always love them, though.
I agree with
Very
that.
Very nice words.
Yeah. Yeah, they are a special group, because you could tell that they loved music. Like, they just that they experimented so much, they evolved, they grew up. It's just nice to see that, as opposed to the same sound over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is the last part of the show here, where we're gonna rate the playlist, but before we do, you get the floor for your final thoughts on Linkin Park this year.
Ooh. Yeah, I think Linkin Park is a great band. I think they're getting more flowers now than they did when they were, like, you know, in the beginning, in their peak. But I appreciate just how earnest they are all the time. And I'm glad they spoke to my little teenage angsty heart when they did. And all of our teenage angsty hearts. And yeah, hope they give us more.
Well put. I think you're totally right about the flowers being handed out now. And I'm going to join the committee of flower givers, and I think I'm going to give this, I'm going to go as high as a 5.5 out of 6 on this. Because this really hit me in the nostalgic spot. And I haven't given them a proper listen since Chester died. And I think, like, listening to it today, I was like, wow, this shit is real. Like, this guy was going through it and, like, making beautiful music at the same time. And, like, that's really raw. And I loved it. It's just great treadmill music, and I can't recommend it enough for that. So yeah, I loved it. I'm going all the way to 5.5. What do you think, Tommy?
Yeah, you know, if you had asked me, like, if we had done this 5 years ago, I think I would have had totally different thoughts, just because I think I kind of, you know, lump them in with other new metal bands that I really don't like famously on the show Limp Bizkit, which was the cause of controversy.
I was wondering if it was going to come up. Yeah,
well, just like listening to them now, I do think that musically it's a lot better than Limp Bizkit was, and they just seem like they have more influences from different types of music as opposed to just kind of dumb, big, you know? And I know, I watched like a fan-made documentary, and I fall for every documentary and fall in love with the band as I'm watching it. So I'm going to go, I feel like 4.5 is where I fall on them, but it was very fun to go back and listen to these songs.
So nice. Fun. And Sashir, you get to rate it too. We do it out of six for six songs, and you can do whatever you want.
I mean, I'm going to give it 6 out of 6. Does anyone give it anything different?
Some people have low self-esteem. Yeah. And
I think last week they get...
No, I stand by this band. I'm giving it six out of six. I love and appreciate it.
This was so fun. Is there anything you want to plug on the way out of here, Sashir?
Let's see. Well, for a plug for Chester Bennington, if you're into getting moody or just like appreciate good vocal skills, there's like so many videos of Chris Cornell and Chester singing together, and it's so good. I mean, just like two people that are like so talented singing together. Wow. I've done that rabbit hole many times during the pandemic. So, but for me, all my social media is at The Sheer Truth, my Twitter, Instagram. I'm on Home Economics, an ABC show. It airs every Wednesday. And then I'm about to shoot Woke season 2. The first season's on Hulu right now. And does it.
Hell yeah.
I saw a commercial for Home Economics during the Oscars, and I got so excited. I was like, all right, that's sick.
they're really promoting it. I really appreciate it.
That's awesome, yeah.
So I think we hear about if we get picked up for another season very soon. So hopefully.
Hell yeah.
Stand by your band. Tweet at ABC.
Tweet at ABC. Well,
you want more Home Economics.
Come on. I will be at the DC Improv May 20th. 20th through the 22nd. So get out there, get tickets now. And then Good God is happening Thursday at the Sultan Room in Brooklyn. Tommy, take it away.
Yeah, I'll be at, if you're in Chicago, I'll be going back this weekend for Mother's Day. And I will be at the Lincoln Lodge Friday and Saturday. If you want to come to those shows, buy tickets soon, because I guess they've been selling out every show since they started reopening. So definitely buy tickets to that.
All right, get on it and get on the Patreon. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks again, Sashir. This was so fun. And
yes, thank you.
We'll see you guys next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.